Hey, listeners, welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. Back with us today is Kieron Miles. Kieron leads the middle school ministry at Forest Hills Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Kieron, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Chuck, and thank you for having me back. Excited to be here again.
Man, it's always fun to see you. You're a fun person. I enjoy your personality. You always have a smile whenever I've seen you. And so I don't know if you're ever in a bad mood, but I've never noticed it. Are you a perpetually happy guy?
So for the most part, but I do get hangry. Okay. and I do get tired. So like in evenings, it's always fun to like at camps and stuff because kind of toward once 9 o'clock pass, it's kind of now I can hang at night, but I'm just not, or early morning. So kind of before 9 a.m., kind of 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. is just my chill zone, my my detox.
I guess I've never seen you like when you're hangry or when you're tired. But I think a lot of people can relate to those two situations. We were playing a game around our house with family and some friends we had over for dinner. We were saying, if you had a warning label, what would be your warning label? And so the one that I said is turns off at 10 p.m. That's it. 10 o'clock, I'm done. I can be high energy all day, but when it's 10, I'm like, I'm going to bed, guys. I'm out. What would Kieron, if you had a warning label, what would your warning label be?
I would say my warning label would probably be 10 o'clock because at 9 o'clock, I can kind of.
Well, you're piggybacking off of mine. Like you would turn off then. But there was another warning label. So other people in the room said, she talks a lot. And somebody else said, I spill things. I'm clumsy. So if you just in general had a warning label, and listeners, you think about this too. If you had a warning label that everybody should know that would be stuck on your forehead, what would your warning label be? Kieron, what's yours?
See, I feel like my warning label is I kind of get this. I just kind of get the face. Like, I just kind of get this I'm done face, just kind of a blank, kind of retreat. Like I'm just kind of in the, it's almost a zone out face. Like, you're just kind of, like, just kind of there. I'm not, or it's kind of the person who they're just kind of sitting there and it's like, they're not thinking about anything. They're not being rude. They're not being quiet. They're just like, I'm just kind of in that.
So especially in the morning. Just tune out.
I'm just in the zombie mode of, I don't think about anything. I'm just, mouth is shut.
Randomly switches to mute mode.
Yes. Trying to catch up on my evening YouTubes, whatever it is. But
so you did a good job because I didn't prep you for that at all. That was totally unscripted. I just threw that at you. But you know, that's leaders. That happens in ministry, right? We've got to stay flexible and do that. This questions like this, I love to do like in a huddle time or when you're working with your leaders, ask like, what would your warning label be and what would yours be? Fun way to get to know each other. And sometimes we know each other's warning labels better than we know our own. So it's kind of funny to have other people tell you, like, don't talk to me before I've had coffee kind of a thing.
This is a good idea. I like it.
Well, okay. Yeah. So we're recording this on Zoom. And so as we talk, we can see each other, listeners. I can see Kieron and he can see me. I'm in my office. You've got a virtual background up right now. And it's a picture of, is that Times Square from when you took a trip to New York City? Is that what that is?
Yes, I was seeing a Broadway show and they have the ceiling to floor glass windows. And I was like, this is a great photo opportunity. So
it's cool. And so in the picture that's behind you, which I love New York, I grew up in New Jersey. So that's kind of my home part of the country. I love pizza, the right kind. But over your shoulder in the picture is the store, The Gap. And I see that store, The Gap, and I remember The Gap. It makes me think of the subways. And like how in London, I think you said you've been to Hong Kong, they have those signs that say like, mind the gap, like when you're getting on a train or getting on the subway, right?
Yes. Well, and actually in Hong Kong, it's fun. It's like 3-4 different languages, but one of them is please mind the gap.
Please mind the gap. And so the point of the whole mind the gap thing, and this is a really elaborate segue. The point of the mind the gap on the train is like, be careful, watch your step, because there's a little gap between the platform and getting onto the train, right? And you don't want your foot to go down in there because that would be really, really bad if you fell into the gap. And so we're talking today about a different kind of gap. We're talking about bridging this transition when kids are ready to age out of your kids ministry and move into student. Now, you are a middle school minister, and so you have a really unique perspective. You're constantly working with kids who are somewhere between kids and students, right? Where they fit and how they transition. You're working with them socially and spiritually and relationally and all those things so that you can help the kids and their families successfully make this move out of kids ministry into the very different world on the student side that they'll go into. And so, Kieran, we wanted to hear from you today with all of your tips. And I know you have a whole bunch of really valuable insights that can help us on the kids side for our kidsmen leaders who are listening to help work together with their student team so that we don't lose kids and families in that transition. Because I think there's a truth, there's a reality that in some churches, sometimes this is a risky time, right? Because you can have a kids ministry that kids stick with. And when it's time to go to students, they just never really get there. And likewise, we may have a really strong student ministry where our kids ministry may or may not feed into that. Those students may come from elsewhere. So let's talk about this. What are some of those things in the gap that we need to watch? And how can we help our families transition their kids and even help those parents make that transition all the way over successfully onto the student ministry side without losing them in that gap?
So yes, just an excellent discussion for us to have, because the Mind the Gap illustration is so good. I've actually never thought about that. And so I'm like, yeah, I like the way he said that, because yes, it is just so it's so easy to lose some. And there's a lot of reasons for that. There could be the student, just the student was really connected to the children's end and never felt that connection on the student end. Maybe the family never felt the connection on the student end, never got to know the ministry, the youth pastor, whatever it is. Maybe there are some friendship changes. There's a lot of reasons. Plus, just natural adolescence. And a middle schooler is going to naturally have a busier schedule just with the options for more extracurriculars. Maybe they switch schools, as in like a different school. Maybe now they're going to private school, a fast-paced private school, or a different public school, whatever it is. And so there's many opportunities to kind of fall in the gap. So as a church, we want to do a good job transitioning them there. I would say for starters, a lot of this starts with the student leader and the children's leader have to be in communication and on the same page. And obviously in each church, that role could mean a different thing. Maybe it's the middle school person and the preteen person. Maybe it's the student person and the children's person. But whoever kind of oversees those entities, and in most cases, it's probably a paid staff member. But in a different case, it may be a volunteer. Or if it's one person who leads students and children, kind of getting your middle school student volunteer, or maybe it's your children's volunteer. A representative from each elementary. You've got to be on the same page, and that's easier said than done.
Yeah, agree.
Yes. And the reality is there may be some give and take on both ends. There may be some things that as a student pastor, we just need to let children's ministry sort of have that space and do that thing so that we can better win the student over to student ministry. And then likewise, there may be some things on the preteen end, on the children's ministry end, to kind of let the student pastor do that just so that we can work together to mind the gap and get
but
them.
But it's so important, Kieran. I'm so glad that you're starting with this one, because really everything in this relies on you as the kids leader having a really good relationship with your student counterpart. We have to talk to each other. I have my three C's. We have to communicate, coordinate, and collaborate. If we isolate and insulate, we will have a problem. So that relationship is important all year, but it's really crucial when it comes to handing off families. When we can say, we know this kid's there or this student ministry leader, and we can endorse him or her and support them and say great things, encourage those families about the wonderful program they're about to enter into. That all comes out of having a real relationship with one another. And so that's crucial.
Yes, yes, and yes. and I like those three C's you gave, because it's an important part of the process and an important part of us working together to reach preteen and the middle school age families. Now, I think the next step, it would be for the student pastor or whoever is that representative in the student space to have opportunity to meet and interact with preteens. And there's a lot of different ways you can do that. I know in our model, our more strategic ways for that are we do a preteen retreat. It is for fourth and fifth graders, vacation Bible school. And then we have an amusement park trip on the student ministry end. And this brings us to a next point, and this kind of comes with the coordination between children and students, but it's deciding, which area is going to champion that. So like VBS is obviously championed by our kids ministry. So it's like a done for you opportunity.
But we want to invite that student leader to have a presence there, right?
That's exactly right. Yes. Invite the student leader
to have a presence there. And this is a good time, I think, for me to say this. I will say in the student space, sometimes the student ministry, we are not the best at I don't want to say working with children's ministry, but sometimes we're not the best at being present in that children's ministry space. And certainly the student pastor doesn't need to be at everything, but even if it's like one day for VBS, they have some kind of presence. because VBS could be the week before student camp or student kind of whatever. And so I totally get that. But if the student pastor is there for at least like, you know, 45 minutes out of the whole week, then that's a win. So it's having some kind of presence. If they're there, maybe they just come to the preteen space or the children's space like one time in April. Just having some kind of presence, it just helps. And then obviously you can figure out for your model.
Yeah. So that's important for us as kids leaders to extend that invitation. Because I think when you say, you know, student leaders, sometimes the word that came to my mind as you were trying to describe that little bit of maybe not being the one who initiates this. The student leaders, when we reach out to them, are generally very happy to be involved and to have that opportunity to engage with older kids and families so that they can do this. They may not be coming to kids, to you, the kids leader listener, and saying, hey, could you please include me at VBS? They're not going to ask you that. But if we invite them, we have had such great success in churches where I've served at having that student leader come in and be a stage host or greet kids or help with rec time. And it's just a really good way that kids can get to know that person. But that student person is not going to come to you, kids leader, and say, hey, would you please give me a role at VBS? We need to do that and invite them in.
Yeah. And I will say, and like VBS is a good example for the kids leader. For the most part, the student pastor will be more likely to say yes if it's more of a strategic move. So if the kids
just hand off all this work that I need someone to do, I'm gonna give it to you. Like, but hey, no, that's right. Good.
And I say that kids ministry can be intimidating to a student pastor because it's not our regular world. And so we can feel subconscious and we can feel, okay, well, that's not my gifting, so I'm not gonna be a part of it. But obviously there needs to be a partnership, and then these preteens will be in our ministry. And so, yes, just like you said, stage host, just finding a strategic way to use that student pastor. And that's when getting to know each other works well and kind of knowing their giftedness and stuff like that. You can figure out. So good.
You talk, Kieran, about the time, the importance of getting the timing right. So VBS happens in the summer, and some student pastors are busy with camp and other things, but summer is strategic, right? As we talk about, when do we transition kids out of kids and into student? What's your thought on the timing of all that?
Again, that's a great question and a great point. Each church needs to have a date and a date and a mindset for when we want kids to transition into student ministry. And we can start at the end. So like we want to start with, okay, when is the first date that the kid will be officially in student ministry? Most churches have like a promotion Sunday, a move up Sunday. Yes. And so that's when everybody goes to the new grade. And so I know in our model, our school starts in August. And so for our model, our promotion Sunday is usually the Sunday before the first day of school in August. And in our ministry, we don't, you don't move up until that day. And that's for every grade. So it just kind of works out nicely. Now, some churches, they will do at the end of the school year, the kid starting in the summer will be in student ministry. And so different things work for different models. And so that's just something you just have to talk about as a church, talk about from a holistic discipleship perspective, but then also talk about from the kids and the student pastor perspective. And that's when there is a little give or take. If you transition in the summer, then that can be a gain for student ministry, but it could be a loss for kids ministry in that you are losing that grade for your summer activities. But the win there is that if your kids are just kind of mentally done and they're checked out, that could be the momentum that they need. And that also possibly could be very crucial for getting them involved, like, and not losing them in the process. If you bring them in the summer, now in other models, it just kind of works that children's ministry kind of goes all the way through, goes all the way through the end of the summer. And sometimes summer could be too soon, and this all depends on the model, but summer could be too soon in the student ministry context because student ministry in the summer, that's kind of, in some context, that's kind of the final hurrah. It's kind of the end of the process for that school year. And so it may not work bringing in a new, and in our model, we do kids ministry ends at fifth grade, student ministry starts at sixth grade. So for our model, a fifth grader wouldn't necessarily be ready to dive in the summer for like how we do things. So it's it's pros and cons to both. It all depends how your ministry runs and operates. So
and so we need to set that date and agree on that date so everybody's on the same page, right? Kids know when to release and students know when to take hold. But I've also heard you communicate that really this isn't just a one-day thing. There's really a process, right? So that date is when the transition is final, not begins.
So the beginning starts much early on. Couple things. So we do, in our model, we do a preteen retreat. So fourth and fifth graders are actually invited on that weekend. And that's cool because for me, I go on that retreat, obviously. And not only do I get to meet the fifth graders who are going to be in student ministry next year, but I also get to meet the fourth graders, which is good because we can begin that working relationship. So now I'm seeing them around church. I've started to get to know their parents, just sort of figuring things out. And for VBS, we have like a preteen VBS. So yes, it's VBS, but like preteen VBS
is like a separate thing. And so
yes, it's like the VBX, and yeah, that's the curriculum we use. By the way, Lifeway does have a preteen curriculum, and so if you're looking to sort of have that preteen thing, there's a special curriculum for preteens. There's also a student curriculum, and so you can look at that as well. Yes, if you
all
want to try to
Lifeway VBS, lifeway.com/VBS. That's lifeway.com/VBS. Yeah, it's not just preschool and kids. There is a preteen VBX and a student component. There's even an adult component. So you can have your whole church participating in VBS. So that's all at lifeway.com/VBS. Awesome. Thanks for the unintended plug, Kieron.
So yes, it says, and I do say that because I didn't know until kind of getting neck deep into middle school ministry, I didn't know that there was a preteen thing. And so it was helpful. It was helpful for me as a middle school pastor. I was like, oh, this is good because it's appropriate for the age.
And has like some different design. Like it's a little cooler artwork and graphics. There's a different t-shirt. Yes. So it's still the same content of VBS, but it really is contextualized so that you can speak to those kids in the space where they are, like developmentally, and the cool factor of being a middle schooler.
Yeah. So it works out really well, and just the illustrations and everything. But I was gonna say we do a preteen retreat, so it's helpful for me to get to know both grades. But and this is another thing that each ministry will decide. You'll have to decide who is championing which event. And so our preteen retreat, once again, happens under the umbrella of kids ministry. However, me and our kids minister work together to plan that. Yes. And so we do four sessions. I speak twice and our kids minister speaks twice. So yes, but the kids minister kind of plans the theme. They do the retreat center. They recruit all that kind of stuff. I come alongside, I speak and I do programming. And once again, you sort of choose based off each other's giftedness and stuff, because it could be maybe the kids minister just does, like in your model, maybe they just do the advertising and the promo and stuff, but maybe the student person does a theme and all that. So you can work it out. But in our model, I do the programming, and that's really helpful because I can do some more like student ministry style programming. We bring in some of our high school and middle school students to lead worship. We do a combination of adults and students to be small group leaders for that weekend. And so it's good. And I was in charge of small group, which was a more student ministry style small group, but still on that preteen level. Now I will say it is helpful for me as a middle school person. It's helpful to have our kids minister plan the theme and all that, because our kids minister is skilled in the appropriate just sort of teaching curriculum and so and scope and sequence for the preteens, but then I come in and sort of
be who I am. So kind of an event that's a transitional event. That's a really great idea. But you also recommend some things that may be a little easier to pull off. Like you recommend having an open house.
Yes. So we have it's a student ministry open house, and that's for that's for our rising sixth graders, and that is just for the student. And basically in our model, we do it the week before. So our preteens, they have like four or five preteen breakfasts. And so it's just a special time. They play games, they have breakfast.
It's just an easy way that's kind of low hanging fruit to help them experience the space, right? And get to know kind of that how it's different than kids.
Yes. And so at the end of that breakfast, I go in and it's sort of their last preteen breakfast. And so the ministry prays over them. And then they come over to our student ministry area. And yes, we give them a tour of the building. We show them where the bathrooms are. So something we've actually noticed is we have some high school, middle school students who don't even know where the bathrooms are. And so we learned that's a big thing. But
it's like, yeah, that's such a small thing. But if you're a kid and you're having that anxiety of moving away from something that's really known and comfortable in the kids ministry side to something that's unknown and maybe a little intimidating to move up with those bigger, older student ministry kids, even something like knowing someone's name, having a connection with you, Kieran, the one of the leaders, knowing where the bathrooms are. That's some of those. We just need to be thoughtful about those things to make it easier for kids. How about making it easier for parents? Right. How do you advise on that parent part of this?
Then that's the next thing I was gonna say. But one small thing about the open house, we also show them in our model, we do Sunday school on Sunday mornings, and so we show them where their class will be, and then also when they come into the student center, how like we have our lobby, which has some games and game options, and then we all go into a big room for like a little rally time and then Sunday school, and so we want them to know exactly where to go. They're already prepared. And so we tell them that too. And we also spend a few minutes just talking about how student ministry works for different events, different, just all the flow. And so that's our main time to do that. Now let's talk about parents, because those are interacting with students, the preteen retreat, VBS, we do an amusement park thing. We do an open house. By the way, we do an amusement park thing, but that could be as simple as going bowling. That could be as simple as just having a game thing at your church. So do whatever works for you in your model. Now, we are blessed in Nashville that we have some cheap amusement parks close by. And so it ends up being an easy thing. But yes, parents. So our parent thing is there's a lot of emails. And this is something that I coordinate with our kids minister. I get all the addresses. I get all the families. So this all kind of revolves around, we do what we call a rising sixth grade parent experience. And so it's a little bit more jazzed up than a meeting, but it's usually in April. And so we bring all our parents in. And so they get to meet me, some of our ministry leaders. And so we talk about the ministry, how it all works. We also talk about Gen Z and now Gen Alpha. Last year was the first time we did kind of a Gen Alpha stuff. And it's so funny because the first time I did this meeting, I talked mostly about the ministry. Then I tagged in some, it was Gen Z at the time. I tagged in some Gen Z stuff, but I noticed like parents were eating that up. So I was like, okay. And so the next year I added more Gen Z stuff. And so people just really loved it. But then I also added a parent panel. And the first time I added a parent panel, it was kind of like, you know, the last 5 or 10 minutes. Once again, parents were eating that up. And so now, we do a little bit of like the ministry and stuff, which most people know the church and kind of trust the church and stuff, but learning about the ministry, all the things. And so then we talk about Gen Z and Gen Alpha. And then we have some veteran middle school parents who will come and just answer questions. And so it's a win for everybody because those parents get to pour into the next parents. They get to see people, but then these middle school parents are getting to hear, what it's like. So that's always been a win, but so to communicate for that, I mail home a letter. At our church, we just don't do a whole lot of mailings. We do mostly digital communication unless it really matters. So since this is a niche group and they're going to be reading mail and they're getting mail from the middle school and all that. So it's kind of, it makes sense. But we mail home a letter. I'm kind of like, hey, I'm the middle school minister. Your student's coming to middle school. And then parents are always like, would I read that? I had a panic attack and all stuff. But we mail a letter home and then we send an email. And we provide lunch at that meeting to get them to come. So important
to engage with parents and to make that handoff. And oftentimes there are very different strategies in how we communicate to parents and kids than in students, right? And at some point in time in the student ministry space, you begin communicating directly with the student. And on the kid's side, it's really all about the parents. But we need to, even as we communicate and coordinate together, it can be really good for us to begin to use a similar style of communication. Is it a weekly email? Is it a text? Is there another place that we give information so that it feels familiar to the parent, right? Because if they move from one means of communication in kids and now they have to have some other different place to look for messaging, same church, different ministry can feel really disjointed if we're not intentional for the sake of the parents. I think generally, the more we can maintain consistency in experience for the family, the better.
So, and yes, I completely agree. One thing we do have in student ministry that is uniquely different from our other ministries is that we have a texting service. It is the Remind app. It's kind of a popular texting app, especially a lot of schools use it. But in a Rising Parent meeting, we tell them about the Remind app, how to get on and stuff, but we put intentional advertisement toward that because we know that it's a different thing. But you bring up the next point, is that something that the student person and the kids person wants to talk about is you want to be familiar just with the inner workings of, so particularly student ministry, being familiar with the inner workings of the children's ministry. So one big thing for us is that our kids ministry has a pretty robust check-in system. And so parents have to walk them in, you get your tags, security, there's glass doors, all this kind of stuff. In student ministry, we do have security, but the students just walk in. There's not a check-in process. Now how our space works, we always have adults there. And so you do get questioned if you're not supposed to be there. but we just know who is supposed to be there and then who is not. And so they just check in. And then at the end in our children's ministry, parents pick up the kids. But student ministry, they just kind of dismiss from their small group and then they're free to go. And so the first couple of years, I didn't realize that was a thing. And so, yes. And so we'd have parents coming in early and all the stuff, but that's something we communicate now. And that's something that, so it's just student pastor wants to be familiar from children's ministry and kids ministry wants to, enlighten their student pastors on that. Also, So I served in a ministry where in kids ministry, they did a lot of puppet shows. And so coming to student ministry, it was just different because there was no puppet show. And so just like knowing stuff like that, it's just helpful for the student pastor. The student pastor needs to be familiar with those things. And so that's another communication thing.
This is all so valuable. And at the end of the day, I think it comes down to we need to build relationships with one another. On the kids' side, it's good for us as leaders to engage and initiate with our student counterparts so that we work as one team together, not against each other. So initiate, listeners, initiate relationship, invite your student leaders to come together, take them to coffee. They love lunch. I think student people eat every day. Is that right, Kieran?
Yes, we do.
They eat every day. They would love it if you bought them a slice of pizza or a sandwich or a taco and you sat down to talk strategy.
We don't do pizza or donuts because that's what we have on a regular basis. So no pizza or donuts. Anything else?
Kieran, thank you for being here today. We appreciate having you back and thank you for sharing all these great insights. Listeners, thank you for listening. Listen, initiate, communicate, coordinate, collaborate, mind the gap. Keep in mind the importance of guiding kids across the divide into our student space. We can reduce the width of that gap by using some of these great strategies that Kieran shared. Now, since he mentioned VBS and all the great resources that are there, not just for preschool, not just for kids, but in middle school, in high school, and in the adult space, all of that is a part of the Lifeway VBS program. It's something that sets Lifeway VBS apart from other VBS providers. Having a separate middle school, high school, and adult component is not something that everyone else does. So I would encourage you to go check those things out because there's a lot of amazing ministry that happens through VBS that's beyond what's happening in the kids space. You can find out more about that at lifeway.com/VBS. And you can find all kinds of fantastic resources, including archives of the podcast, our blog, short-term Bible studies, some of them specifically targeted at that preteen age at lifeway.com/kids. Lifeway.com/kids is the one place to go to find everything you need. Kieran, thanks for being here again. Listeners, thank you. We'll see you back again soon for another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.